from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. The United Nations Agency for the Environment, or UNEP, encourages the utilization of forest and palm oil in Indonesia. Indonesian Vice President hands over aid to Lombok earthquake evacuees. Earthquakes necessitate adjustments in preparation of World Bank IMF meeting. And now the news in detail. Director of the United Nations Agency for the Environment, or UNEP, Erick Solheim, said in Jakarta on Monday, August 20, 2018, that forests and palm oil in Indonesia were a good opportunity for Indonesia to develop. According to Solheim, by utilizing forest and palm oil, Indonesia will get multiple benefits, ranging from aspects of forest conservation to improving the economy of the community. In addition, he added the use of forests and oil palm will also be able to increase the productivity of farmers so that the economy of the community will be able to increase. His party is also committed to supporting Indonesia in achieving better forest management and oil palm heads.
I think Indonesia should see the forest and palm oil business as an opportunity for progress. The forest can be well protected and the peatlands can be well protected, while at the same time the palm oil business is growing. Because productivity of many farmers in Indonesia is very low. If it can be invested in the farm so the productivity increases, well, the farmers get a better life, can give better education to their children, better income, better jobs, while at the same time there is much less reason for anyone to destroy the forest and put fire to the forest. So there will be better health, less haze, more forest, better income, all by the same policies. And that's what we try to assist Indonesia in achieving.
Erick Solheim further appreciated the efforts of the Indonesian government in the last 3 years in reducing the number of forest fires. According to him, the right policy will produce positive benefits for Indonesia, not only in reducing the number of forest fires, but also providing alternatives for the Indonesian people in improving the economy. He also encouraged the use of palm oil land compared to efforts to open new land for palm oil plantations. He said the use of palm oil land would increase plantation yields and reduce the number of unproductive farmers. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla visited Lombok earthquake evacuation camp in Kekait village of West Lombok on Tuesday. The Vice President symbolically handed over the government's assistance to the victims. Social Affairs Minister Idrus Marham said the government has provided aid worth 15 million rupiah to each family. Vice President Yusuf Kalla would chair a coordination meeting on the rehabilitation and reconstruction of Lombok. The succession of major earthquakes rocking the island of Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara, have forced the government to make some adjustments in the preparations for the annual meeting of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund IMF in Bali, Lombok's closest neighboring island, in October this year. Chairman of the National Committee for the Annual Meeting of the IMF World Bank Group 2018, Susi Wiono Mugiarso, said Lombok was one of the tourist destinations to be visited by the delegates. In addition, Lombok is one of the parking places for aircraft carrying the delegations to the big meeting, as Denpasar's airport of Ngurah Rai would not be able to accommodate all of the aircraft used by the delegations. Susi Wiono said the Indonesian government has continued to keep communications with IMF and the World Bank on condition and progress in the preparations, especially after the succession of earthquakes hitting Lombok. In addition, according to Susi Wiono, the quake seemed to shift eastward, therefore there is no plan to move the venue of the meeting from Nusa Dua, Bali. Even in the original plan, the government already prepared anticipatory steps and evacuation in the event of an unexpected occurrence such as earthquake or terrorism. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi declared that the repatriation of Sinta Putri Dina Pertiwi's corpse, a student from Malang who died caused sinking in Trebgasbedese Lake in Bavaria, Germany, is still waiting for flight cargo. Minister Retno Marsudi explained in Jakarta on Monday that it has just waited for information from the airlines on when the repatriation process can be conducted. Indonesian Consulate General of Frankfurt has received written notification from authority in Germany that autopsy of Sinta's body has been done and the corpse has been handed over on August the 15. The minister received official request from her family to assist the return of the body so that representatives of the Consulate General has taken the body from Beirut, handling the autopsy certificate, processing Islamic screening for the body, and preparing the repatriation. Minister Retno has contacted Indonesian representatives in Germany and also Director of Indonesian Citizen Protection and Indonesian Legal Aid of Foreign Affairs Ministry, Lalu Muhammad Iqbal, to ensure the Islamic screening process of the corpse has been conducted. This news comes to you over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan emphasized crude palm oil plantations have helped Indonesia achieving the targets of sustainable development or the Sustainable Development Goals SDGs. When he was interviewed during the National Seminar of the United Environment Programme on All Towards an SDGs Focus Roadmap in Jakarta on Monday, Minister Luhut Panjaitan said that Executive Secretary of the Tropical Landscapes Finance Facilities, Satya Tripathi, and the United Nations Environment Programme, UNEP, are ready to provide assistance for Indonesia in a bid to develop its crude palm industry, particularly the empowerment of crude palm oil farmers. According to Minister Luhut, the Tropical Landscapes Finance Facility and the United Nations Environment Programme have committed to carry out the crude palm oil plantation program worth millions of US dollars, and one of the plantations was carried out in Jambi.
Ya, mereka akan bantu.
Yes, they includes Mr. Satya, who will help us. Considering the program is mostly joined by developed countries, giving double standards should be avoided. Those developed countries are supported by many parties. They start carrying out the planting program and accumulating the money, which has reached hundreds of million dollars. I have not known yet the details, but they have started conducting the program in Jambi. Regarding with the attempt of poverty eradication issue and the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals SDGs, Minister Luhut said that there are many countries acknowledge Indonesia as a non-eco-friendly country. However, Indonesia can prove that the assumption is wrong. Indonesia cares about the issue and currently is implementing the SDGs. Minister Luhut added that Indonesia has set target for the implementation of the Sustainable Development Goals. And according to Minister Luhut, the target can be observed by the falling number of poverty in Indonesia. He explained that inclusively, based on the record of the Central Statistic Agency BPS, the number of poverty in March 2018 has degraded by 25.95 million people or 9.8%, and this number is lower compared to the previous position with 10.12%. The Philippines Foreign Affairs Minister Alan Peter Cayetano, during his visit in Indonesia in a bid to watch the biggest sporting event, namely the 2018 Asian Games, held a meeting with Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Monday. A number of bilateral and regional issues were discussed at the meeting, held approximately for 30 minutes. One of the issues discussed was the activities of Indonesia's private sectors in the Philippines. According to Minister Retno Marsudi, at the meeting, the Philippines Foreign Affairs Minister, Alan Peter Cayetano, gave appreciation towards the activities of Indonesia's private sectors in his country. He also hoped the activities of Indonesia's private sectors can be more developed in the future, particularly in South Philippines region after the implementation of the Bangsamoro Organic Law.
Jadi sebenarnya dalam rangka Asian Games, tetapi
the Philippines Foreign Affairs Minister is actually here to watch the 2018 Asian Games. But since he is in Jakarta now, therefore it would be better for us not only to discuss bilateral issues, but also discuss the issues in ASEAN. In bilateral and regional contexts, there were several issues that we discussed, such as the appreciation of the Philippines towards the activities of Indonesia's private sectors that start to operate greatly in the Philippines. The discussion covered the investors of the development of roads and how the Philippines expected the involvement of Indonesia's private sectors can be developed in the future, for example, in the region of South Philippines. Furthermore, Minister Retno Marsudi said that the intimate cultural relationship between South Philippines and Indonesia is one of the factors that supports the activities of Indonesia's private sectors in the region. As known, the majority of populations in South Philippines and the Mindanao Islands are Muslims. According to Minister Retno Marsudi, the economic cooperation is the focus or priority of the current Indonesia-the Philippines bilateral relationship. The minister is optimistic that the economic cooperation of both countries can be carried out successfully, especially Ambassador of the Philippines to Indonesia Lee Soon Tanui, that has just handed letter of credentials to President Joko Widodo on August 13, 2018, and he has also a business background. And the last item, Chairman of the Palestinian Olympic Committee Jibril Mahmoud Muhammad Rajub on Tuesday, August the 21st, paid a courtesy call on President Joko Widodo at the Presidential Palace. The President and Rajub, who led a Palestinian contingent to the 18 Asian Games held in Jakarta and Palembang, discussed relations between the two countries in sports. Indonesia is one of the strongest supporters of the Palestinian struggle for sovereignty. It was shown by the Indonesian spectators when the Palestinian contingent appeared at the opening ceremony. Palestine came with 88 athletes to take part in 14 events in the 18 Asian Games. Rajub said he appreciated the friendly reception and support by the Indonesian public for the Palestinian contingent. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. The United Nations Agency for the Environment, UNEP, encourages the utilization of forests and palm oil in Indonesia. Indonesian Vice President hands over aid to Lombok earthquake evacuees. Earthquakes necessitate adjustments in preparation of World Bank IMF meeting. And that was the news from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, coming up next, here is our today's commentary entitled Idul Adha, Unifying Differences. Listener, in August 2018, the majority of Muslim countries celebrate Idul Adha. In celebrating Idul Adha, it starts with the Hajj, which is the fifth pillar of the Islam. In celebrating Idul Adha, it starts with the Hajj, which is the fifth pillar of Islam, in Mecca in Saudi Arabia, and ends with the slaughtering of animals. But in the course of time, the fall of celebrating Idul Adha has caused differences in determining the time and date, namely 10 Dhul Hijjah, according to the Islamic calendar. The difference refers to Rukyat, or seeing Hilal, or the appearance of the crescent moon to determine the arrival of the new month in their respective countries. In Indonesia, the Ministry of Religious Affairs has held a judicial session to determine 1 Dzulhijjah 1439 Hijriah on August 11, 2018. The result is 1 Dzulhijjah 1439 Hijriah fell on Monday, August the 13th. While the peak of the pilgrimage or the Feast of Kurban falls on August 22nd in Indonesia. While the Saudi Arabian government has set Idul Adha to fall on Tuesday, August 21st, 2018. Meanwhile, Chairman of the Indonesian Ulama Council, Hasanuddin AF, said that each country has its own provisions in determining the coming of the new moon. In Saudi Arabia, the moon has been seen since Saturday night, August 11, 2018. So the first Dhul Hijjah fell on Sunday, August 12. According to Hasanuddin AF, it is natural that the determination of the government of Indonesia and Saudi Arabia be different considering the geographical location of the two countries. In fact, almost all countries in Southeast Asia, such as Malaysia, Singapore, and Brunei Darussalam, set Wednesday, August 22nd as Idul Adha. Even some other countries in Asia, such as Pakistan, Japan, and in North Africa, Morocco, also set August 22nd as Idul Adha Day. The differences that become the polemic must be addressed wisely. The difference in life is natural because everyone is different in perspective, because humans born must be different from one another, because it requires an attitude of maturity in thinking and socializing. Differences related to the determination of Idul Adha Day have been seen to refer to the geography and the location of the country, but the difference should be addressed as a grace and mutual respect. And listener, that was commentary.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. I'll begin with August the 21st, 1945, the Declaration of the Indonesian Police. After Indonesia's independence was proclaimed, the police commander in Surabaya, Class 1 Police Inspector Muhammad Yasin, declared the position of police as the Republic of Indonesia Police. The decision followed the establishment of the National Police Agency by the Preparatory Committee for Indonesian Independence on August 19, 1945. On September 29, 1945, the President of the Republic of Indonesia, Sukarno, installed the first Indonesian National Police Chief, Police General R.S. Sukanto. At first, the police were within the Ministry of the Interior under the name of the National Police Bureau, which was only responsible for administrative matters, while the operational problem was responsible to the Attorney General. Turning to August the 21st, 1945, the first National Maritime Day. Every August the 21st is celebrated in Indonesia as National Maritime Day. History records that August the 21st, 1945, or 4 days after the proclamation of Indonesian independence, was the day that the Republic of Indonesia Navy succeeded in taking over the power of the Japanese naval military. With simple equipment, the Indonesian military could defeat the Japanese, who had far more sophisticated equipment at that time. In addition, history has proven that Indonesia's marine life is highly respected by other nations, not only for its underwater wealth but also its maritime power. Maritime Day is also celebrated considering that almost 75% of Indonesia's territory is in the form of sea. Geographically, Indonesia is an archipelagic country with 2/3 of the area in the form of oceans. This can be seen with the coastline on almost every island in Indonesia, which reaches around 81,000 kilometers and puts Indonesia in second place after Canada as a country that has the longest coastline in the world. I'll end with August the 21st, 1995. Dutch Queen Beatrix visits Indonesia. August 21, 1995 became a historical moment in the relations between the Republic of Indonesia and the Netherlands. On that day, Queen Beatrix from the Netherlands made a state visit to Jakarta. She came to establish relations with the Republic of Indonesia, which was then led by President Suharto. Republic of Indonesia became independent on August 17, 1945, after being colonized around 350 years by the Dutch and 3.5 years under the Japanese occupation. However, the Dutch recognition of Indonesian sovereignty only came on December 27, 1947. During her visit, Queen Beatrix mentioned that the Republic of Indonesia was independent on August 17, 1945. This was the first time the Dutch Queen had said about Indonesia's independence, even though the statement was not officially declared. Well, that was Today in History from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program through RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Our program, My Indonesia, the edition of today's is bringing you a topic about Pancasila as the source of ideology of Indonesia. President Joko Widodo, in his state address before the House of Representatives DPR on last Thursday, called for all liberal of society to be grateful for having Pancasila as the source of ideology of Indonesian nation. As quoted by President RI.go.id, President Joko Widodo said that Pancasila guides all Indonesian generations to implement the promises of Indonesian independence. Pancasila is the navigator, the generator, and the source of inspiration as well as the unifier of Indonesian nation with the principle of unity in diversity, or locally called Bhinneka Tunggal Ika. President Joko Widodo believed by firmly sticking to Pancasila values, Indonesia will become a sovereign and dignified nation in the global network with other nations, meaning being equal to each other in every aspect of life. Meanwhile, as quoted by TribuneNews.com, when welcoming officials of Agency for Pancasila Ideology Education, BPIP, at the office of DPR Speaker last Tuesday, Speaker Bambang Susatyo called for liberals of society to practice Pancasila spirit and values first in every aspect of life, making Pancasila spirit and values as the utmost importance is aimed at strengthening the sense of nationalism. He also remarked that Pancasila is the power of Indonesian nation because in the past, Indonesian ancestors implemented Pancasila's value. The implementation of Pancasila values make Indonesian nation still exist until today. He added that Pancasila should be continuously implanted and applied in every aspect of state and nation life. As quoted by TribuneNews.com, when becoming the interviewee at the national talk show and book launching entitled Membaca Indonesia di Jakarta, or Reading Indonesia through Jakarta on Monday, Speaker Bambang Susatyo said that Pancasila is philosophically the supporter of Indonesia being an immense house of society from various ethnicities and culture. Observing Indonesia today basically means figuring out the way to spread Pancasila values enormously into public by utilizing virtual world and creative media. Indonesian nation should preserve and maintain Pancasila is the bond to prevent the weight of political identity that keeps bothering the sense of nationalism. He is optimistic that Indonesian people must have missed the peace of light. Moreover, as a nation, Indonesia has strong socio-historical root. For example, the Youth Pledge in 28th of October 1928 becomes the point of initiation for youth in the country's revolution, declaring the sons and daughters of Indonesia to acknowledge one motherland and one nation, namely Indonesia, and respect the language of unity, namely Indonesian. Well, listener, that was my Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. Director of the United Nations Agency for the Environment, UNEP, Eric Solheim, said in Jakarta on Monday, August 8th, 20th, that forests and palm oil in Indonesia were a good opportunity for Indonesia to develop. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla visited the Lombok earthquake evacuation camp in Kekayet village of West Lombok on Tuesday. The succession of major earthquakes rocking the island of Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara, have forced the government to make some adjustments in the preparations for the annual meeting of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund IMF in Bali, Lombok's closest neighboring island, in October this year. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi declared that the repatriation of Sinta Putri Dwina Pertiwi's body, a student from Malang who died because of sinking in Trebgasbades Lake in Bavaria, Germany, are still waiting for flight cargo. Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan emphasized crude palm oil plantations have helped Indonesia achieving the targets of sustainable development or the Sustainable Development Goals SDGs. The Philippines Foreign Affairs Minister Alan Peter Cayetano, during his visit in Indonesia in a bid to watch the biggest sporting event, namely the 2018 Asian Games, held a meeting with Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Monday. And the last item, Chairman of the Palestinian Olympic Committee Jibril Mahmoud Muhammad Rajub on Tuesday, August 21st, paid a courtesy call on President Joko Widodo at the Presidential Palace. And listeners, that was News in Brief.
Bukalah matamu, kuatkan hatimu, berikan energi di dalam semangatmu. Tegaklah berdiri, terbanglah kau tinggi. Inilah saatnya namamu bergema. Maknai kekalahan sebagai kemenangan yang tertunda. Jangan pernah berputus asa, jadi yang terbaik.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Olele Beach in Gorontalo. Stay tuned. Listener, Gorontalo, a province in Sulawesi Island, is renowned for its natural beauty. In line with its tagline, the hidden paradise, the city offers outstanding natural beauty. The beauty of the city comprises beach tourism, waterfall, cultural attractions, and variety of culinary. Being located surrounding islands makes Gorontalo have abundant beach tourisms that can be visited. One of the popular beach attractions in Gorontalo is called Olele Beach. Located approximately 20 kilometers from the center of Gorontalo city, Olele Beach in Olele Village, Kabilaboni Sub-District, Boni Bolango Regency is relatively easy to be accessed. The beach that is marked by its quite bustling fishermen's activities offers enchanting panorama, especially the remarkable underwater view. Listener, Olele Beach is getaway to the Olele Sea Park. When you visit the beach, we will find a beach with wonderful white sand, incredible coral reefs, and gorgeous sea creatures. The beach possesses lovely coral reefs and well-preserved marine ecosystem. Even some of the sea creatures have special characteristics which are not found in any other coastal area. Therefore, the beach becomes the perfect spot for those of you who are keen on diving and snorkeling. If you would like to try snorkeling or diving, snorkeling and diving equipment services are provided in the beach. Competent instructors and experienced guides are ready to accompany you exploring the underwater paradise of Olele. At least there are 9 diving spots in Olele. Each of the spots has its own beauty. Among them is the Jin Cave, namely a coral reef area with cave shape. Various colorful little fish adorn the beauty of the Jin Cave. Besides the Jin Cave, there is another splendid spot in Olele Beach. The name is Salvador Dali. The spot is an area which has impeccable coral reefs. The place was named Salvador Dali because it resembles to the painting that belongs to Salvador Dali, a renowned painter. There is another fascinating spot which has coral reefs resembling to pearl and the flowers look like beehives. Listener, for those of you who cannot dive, you can rent glass boats. The boats are produced by local people who are ready to take visitors sailing the sea in a bid to explore the beauty of colorful coral reefs, various fish, and sea creatures. For those of you who would like to stay, unfortunately, there is no accommodation in Olele Beach. However, you can stay at local people's house. Listener, there was Indonesian Wonder about Olele Beach in Gorontalo. We will see you on the next edition with more interesting topics.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Welcome back to Let's Learn Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing Indonesian vocabulary and idioms and guiding you to use it in conversation. Let's Learn Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station with the Agency for Language Development, the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Saya Mau Pergi ke Apotek. I want to go to the pharmacy. Next is example conversation on Saya mau pergi ke apotek. I want to go to the pharmacy. Dinda wants to buy some medicine because of her illness, but Joko sees her. Joko, mau kemana? Dinda, aku mau ke apotek membeli obat. Aku gak enak badan. Tony, aku saja yang membeli obat. Kamu istirahat saja. Dinda, baiklah. After listening to the conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, namely, saya mau pergi ke apotek. Saya mau pergi ke apotek, which means, I want to go to the pharmacy. I will say them 2 times and you can repeat after me. Mau kemana? Mau kemana? Which means, where are you going? Aku mau ke apotek. Aku mau ke apotek. Which means, I want to go to the pharmacy. Mau membeli obat. Mau membeli obat. Which means, I want to buy some medicine. Aku gak enak badan. Aku gak enak badan. Which means, I'm not feeling well. Aku saja yang membeli obatnya. Aku saja yang membeli obatnya. Which means, let me get medicine. Kamu istirahat saja. Kamu istirahat saja, which means you just take a rest. In the context of the dialogue that you heard earlier, when Dinda is going outside the house, Joko asks, "Mau kemana?" Mau kemana, which means where are you going? So if you want to know where someone is going, you can ask, mau kemana? Mau kemana? The answer to such a question is, saya mau ke, which means I'm going to. Then mention the place you are going to. For example, saya mau pergi ke apotek. Saya mau pergi ke apotek, which means I want to go to the pharmacy, or just ke apotek. Ke apotek, which means to the pharmacy. Furthermore, in the dialogue, you heard Dinda mention the words enggak. Enggak, which means no. The word enggak is a non-standard form of the word tidak. Tidak, which means no or not, and is only used in informal conversation. Example, aku enggak sakit. Aku enggak sakit is the same as aku tidak sakit. Aku tidak sakit, which means I'm not sick. In everyday conversation, the word enggak is used more often than the word tidak. Before ending, let's learn Bahasa Indonesia today. For more details, let's listen to the conversation once again. Joko, mau kemana? Dinda, aku mau ke apotek membeli obat. Aku nggak enak badan. Tony, aku saja yang membeli obat. Kamu tidur saja. Dinda, baiklah. After listening to the above conversation about saya mau pergi ke apotek, or I want to go to the pharmacy, I will give you an exercise which relates to the words you have learned so far. This exercise is to describe your work or job by mentioning your name, profession, place of work, your working time like day, working hours, and breaks. Example. Nama saya Andi. Saya seorang wartawan. Saya bekerja di surat kabar Sinar Pagi. Saya bekerja dari Senin sampai Jumat, mulai pukul 8 pagi sampai pukul 4 sore. Jam istirahat saya mulai pukul 12 sampai dengan pukul 1 siang. For practice, send your voice recording in Indonesian to the following email address, voi@voinews.id. There will be attractive gift packages for lucky listeners. The names will be announced on November 2018. And let's meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for your attention. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a segment which presents you with Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition of Music Corner, we will present you Malay songs. To initiate our segment of Music Corner for today, let us listen to a song entitled Patah Kemudi by Hamdan Atete. It is a broken-hearted song. Listener, this is Patah Kemudi by Hamdan Atamimi or Hamdan Atete.
Sudah, tapi cintanya pada yang lain.
just listen to a Malay song entitled Patah Kemudi by Hamdan ATT. The lyrics of the song are four-line poem with ABAB rhyme. Composed by Hamdan Atamimi, the song tells about someone whose love is betrayed by his lover. Since his lover has turned to another man, consequently, his heart has broken. The song was accompanied by the music of a Malayan orchestra named Suara Gemilang Orchestra, and it was one of songs of Hamdan's ATT album entitled Dendang Melayu Hamdan ATT, released in 2002. The next Hamdan ATT song that we are going to present you is called Asam dan Garam, or Sourness and Saltiness. This Malay song narrates a long-distance relationship, and through this song, the man wants to convince his lover that the man is about to come back soon from his journey, as his lover is impatiently waiting for him. Their love is analogized as sourness and saltiness. If their emotion is united, there will be plenty of feelings. Listener, here is the song Asam dan Garam by Hamdan ATT. Enjoy listening.
Karena cinta sayang, mengapa harus dikenal?
Listener, just like the previous song, this song is taken from his album entitled Dendang Melayu Hamdan Atete in 2002. Hamdan At-Tamimi was born in Maluku January 27, 1950, and he is better known with his stage name Hamdan Atete. He is more renowned as a dangdut singer rather than a Malay singer. Not only being a notable singer, Hamdan Atete is also known as a composer and producer. To end our segment Music Corner for today's edition, we would like to present you a song entitled Jera or Worry, sung by Hamdan Atete. Composed by himself, the song tells about the situation where one feels devastated due to her lover that has betrayed her. Due to her terrible experience of suffering from the bitterness of love, she feels worried and finds it difficult to begin a new relationship. The lyrics of the song consist of a poem in an A-B-A-B rhyme, and it was composed poetically. Listener, thank you for joining us. We hope the songs we presented today will improve your understanding about Malay songs in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOR. Today's sound.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.